Last week, we started talking about hearing the voice of the Lord. It's very important for us. And before that, we've been talking about prayer, mountain-moving prayer. We've been talking about the harvest and the need for workers. And all this leads us to a very, very important topic: abiding in Christ. See, here's the thing. If we're not abiding in Christ, we won't be hearing the voice of the Lord. If we're not abiding in Christ, we're not going to be able to pray those mountain-moving prayers. If we are not abiding in Christ, we're going to bear zero fruit. That's what John 15 says. And so therefore, we won't be effective as a worker in the harvest. So this is a very important passage for us to look at. And of course, John 15, that's the passage, is largely devoted to this topic. We're going to take probably several weeks to go through this. By the way, 1 John also talks about abiding. But there's other places in the scriptures where this same truth is talked about, perhaps used in different phrases, such as walking in the Spirit. Outside the message of salvation, I believe this is probably the most important truth that we can hear as Christians. Because so much rests on it. And yet, even though we know about it, oh yeah, that's the passage about the vine and the branches, something like that, we don't really get it down here. So that's going to be my prayer, and I want it to be your prayer for these next few weeks, that we really understand in a way we've never understood before what it means to abide in Christ. Now, we should probably note also, when did Jesus give that teaching about abiding in Christ? It was one of the last things he told his disciples, right? It was on the night right after the Last Supper. Within a couple hours, he was going to be dragged before the authorities, ready to get crucified. So it's his last message to his disciples. Is that because it was the least important? No. Actually, I think it was one of the most important. Because Jesus knew that this teaching would tie together a lot of things he'd been sharing with the disciples. And also, he knew too that this is a message you can't understand unless you understand and believe in the resurrection of Jesus. So all this we're going to be talking about. So like I said, we're going to spend the next several weeks on this beautiful chapter. And again, this is a passage that is going to really show us and make a lot of sense to the things we've been talking about. So let's read verses 1 through 17. We'll have it up here. Got a tickle in my throat here. Let me get this water. And then we'll pray. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. You kind of see this is kind of where the prayer comes in. Verse 8. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear a little fruit, no, much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. By the way, notice how many things that already he's talking about. If we're going to be loving one another, if we're going to have the joy of the Lord, if we're going to be praying, if we're going to be bearing much fruit, if we're going to glorify the Lord, if we're going to prove that we're his disciples, all that depends on what? This abiding in Christ. Okay, let's go a little bit further. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go out and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Lord in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you, that you love one another. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would open our eyes to see this passage over the next few weeks like we've never seen it before. Lord, we ask also that you'd open our hearts, that we would be able to receive this message, and that we would begin to abide in you in the way that you've called us to do. So, Lord, give us understanding now. Open our eyes, open our hearts. Amen. Okay, so Jesus gives us an illustration, very famous illustration, that shows us a very important truth. And we see it in verses 1 through 3. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me, let's just kind of stop there. Let's just kind of get this straight. Who is the vine dresser? The Father, right? And who is the vine? Jesus, right? And who are the branches? That's us. So there are four things that we want to see in these first three verses. And let me kind of finish verse 2 and 3. It says, every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so that it will bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Okay, so four things here. The first thing, the purpose of the branches is to bear fruit. Okay, we're to bear fruit. I think we probably have a slide up here. We don't have a slide up here. Okay, there's a technical problem. Okay, we got it. Okay, you got it. Okay, great, perfect. Okay, the purpose of the branches is to bear fruit, and lots of fruit. Okay, the purpose of the branches is not just to look good. They may look good, but that's not the purpose. They look good there. You know, it's not to see how long they can live. It's not the branches. The purpose of the branches isn't to live a life of pleasure. It's to bear fruit. No other purpose. And the same for us as branches. Our purpose in life is to bear fruit. Now, we may live a long life. We may enjoy life. We may look good. We may not look good. But our purpose is to bear fruit. So what does Jesus mean by bearing fruit? Well, first of all, it means that we reproduce ourselves. In every grape, going to this, there are seeds. And in those seeds, there's the life to start new grape plants, right? New vines. And so for us, we are to reproduce ourselves. It's part of God's mission to see more disciples born into the kingdom of God. And he uses us to do that. So We're here on this earth to see more people come to know him and more people grow in him and become disciples, to be a part of the harvest. Now, we may not all be evangelists, but we should all be part of God's plan as the church to do what we can to see people come into the kingdom of God. And so we need to be asking ourselves, are we bearing fruit? Are we reproducing ourselves? Is this really my mission in life? Is it something that's even a priority? Or to put it another way, at the end of our life, what would it be that you would hope that would be said about your life? You know, what is it that your life counted for? What difference did we make? Hopefully, we can say, yes, we have borne fruit, lots of it, and we can show it by people whose lives have been changed, people who are part of the kingdom of God. You know, that's our life mission. That is what Jesus wants for us, is to bear fruit. But there's another aspect of fruit. We call it the fruit of the Spirit. Because when we become truly born again, give our life to the Lord, the Holy Spirit comes into our life. And the Holy Spirit wants to change us. He wants to fill our life. He wants to transform us. And out of our life comes forth the what we call the fruit of the Spirit. And if we're truly walking in the Spirit, or we're truly abiding in him, there will be fruit of the Spirit. It's the life of Jesus flowing out of our life, touching everyone around us. Galatians 5. We probably all know that verse, but it says the fruit of the Spirit, which is in our life, it is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That is part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we should be bearing that type of fruit. Someone kind of said, well, that's really who Jesus is, isn't it? That's right, it is. And we could probably take a week or maybe several weeks on each one of these, because they're so important. But the thing is, I can't make myself love other people. I can't make myself have peace. I can't make myself have joy. It is something that comes out of a life where I'm walking with Jesus. When I'm abiding in him, all of a sudden there's that fruit that comes out. You know? And by the way, it's a supernatural fruit too. You know, some people may be patience. Some people are born a little bit more patient than others. Or we could put it the other way. Some people are born without patience. You know, however, in Jesus, if we're abiding with him, there is the supernatural fruit of patience. You might say, I've never had a lot of self-discipline. But you know what? If you're abiding in him, you're going to get self-control. I'm just not really a kind person. That doesn't make any difference, because you're abiding in Christ. You're going to be a very kind person. You're going to be joyful. You're going to have all those fruit of the Spirit. James 3, 17 and 18. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. That's a little bit kind of wordy, but in the Greek, my understanding is basically it's saying that wisdom is another fruit of God that comes out of our life. His wisdom. And his wisdom is what? All the things we read about in Galatians 5. It's gentle. It's peaceable. It's full of good fruits. It's full of mercy. So the purpose of the branches, or the purpose of my life, the purpose of your life, is to bear fruit. Period. Okay? Second thing we can kind of learn from this passage, these first three verses. For the branches bearing fruit, he prunes them. Ouch. You know, now notice, if you're not bearing fruit, there's another destiny for you. But if you are bearing fruit, he's going to prune you. Now, why would he want to do that? It says here, in order to bear more fruit. Because he doesn't just want your life bearing a little bit of fruit. He wants you to bear a lot of fruit. That's his goal for us. Actually, in verse 5 and verse 8 that we'll hit in the next couple of weeks, it says, not just more fruit, but it's much fruit that he has in mind for us. So how does pruning work? I was going to bring some pruning shears and kind of talk about it a little bit. But let me kind of share a story. It's probably the most vivid example I have of pruning. In the 1990s, we lived in Mexico City. And our house was also the ministry base. And there is a man that we rented. He had lived in Mexico City all his life. He was pretty rich, and but after he retired, he decided to move to a place called Valle de Bravo. It's outside of Mexico City, about 2 hours. It's real nice. It's kind of like a Summit County for Denver, and but he wanted someone responsible to take care of his place. And this was a nice house. It had a big garden or yard, about an acre. Actually, when we left, he built 3 or 4 more houses on that same thing. And he said, listen, there's one condition of your renting this place from me. I want you to hire a gardener to come in every week. And at first I thought, what? Hire a gardener? You know, because I was an American, you know. And he said, no, I want you to do him. And he's been with my garden all for many, many years. He's an older man. And so that's part of the deal. And as it turned out, it wasn't even that expensive back in the 1990s. But and by the way, our garden had lots of fruit trees. And it also had beautiful roses, different species. I mean, love these roses. And the first year we were there, probably about 6 months after we had been there, the gardener starts pruning the roses. Yeah, they're big, just covered. And at the end, there were little stumps. Not only were there no roses, there were no leaves. And there was hardly any branches on them. And I was horrified. I thought, this gardener, I think he's gone senile. I mean, what did he do this for? And I think I even called, Senor Jimenez and said, hey, you know, I've forgotten his gardener. He kind of knocked him down. There's nothing there left. He said, oh, no, he does that every year. It's pruning. And sure enough, you know what happened? About a couple months later, it had even more roses than before. You know, that's pruning. You know, and I still remember going down. I mean, I was very upset because all those roses were gone. But that gardener knew what he was doing. Well, God prunes us. And sometimes we feel like there's nothing left. You know, he gets those pruning shears out. And he doesn't do it because he doesn't like us. It's not a way of punishment. It's because we're bearing fruit. He wants us to bear more fruit. And God uses all sorts of things to prune us. I mean, all sorts of things. Trials and tribulations. I know we don't like that. But read Romans 5, 1 Peter, James 1. It talks about we should be thankful when we encounter various trials and tribulations. We talked about this in our house church a few weeks ago. Trials and tribulations, they come in all sorts of packages. They're usually the things that we don't understand and we can't explain. Has that ever happened in your life? Something happens in your life you can't explain. You think, Lord, I don't understand why this happened. The things that are confusing. The things we didn't plan for. The disappointments in life. They can be things concerning relationships or our finances, our work or career. All of a sudden you've lost your job. Lord, that doesn't make sense. You know, it could have to do with our health, our future, our reputation. And so there's seasons when it doesn't seem like there's any fruit. In fact, sometimes we feel this way. We feel like it seems like I can't do anything right. We've all been there, haven't we? These are seasons of pruning. And we could probably spend a lot of time here, and probably should sometime, but I think most of you get the idea, because I don't have to explain what these seasons are. We've all go through them, right? And here's another thing. Pruning just doesn't happen one time in your life. Just like on a vineyard, it doesn't just happen one time. It happens periodically. And you know, sometimes we may look at someone, they may be going through a season of pruning. We don't even know about it because it's not obvious. Maybe it's something deep inside. Or maybe they just seem a little bit more distracted. And by the way, that's one reason why we need to be compassionate toward one another. We don't know what God's doing in them. They could be going through a time of pruning. And you might be saying, yeah, but they need to be doing more. They need to be bearing more fruit. Well, wait a minute. There's times in your life that you could be going through the pruning too. Okay? So what happens during these pruning times in our lives? Especially, that's a good picture. I mean, that's vineyards. They're supposed to be covered with groups. I mean, they're little stumps right now. Actually, I think there's maybe a few leaves on a couple of those. They weren't on my rose plants. I know that, you know. A lot of things happen when we're going through that pruning time if we let God have his way. First of all, we start growing in humility. Do we need to grow in humility sometimes? Yeah, because as humans, when things go right, we get pretty proud, don't we? It just happens that way, you know. We get confident in ourselves. Now, we may say, yeah, it's God that's doing it. But, you know, I'm a great vessel. I mean, look at it. He's just blessing me. It's easy to do those things, you know. So growing in humility often happens when we get pruned. We grow in compassion because we start understanding others. We start feeling their pain. And we come to the place that we're able to comfort people who are going through difficulties or sufferings. So that's, you know, those are very important things for us to learn. We also grow in hearing his voice, because we begin to start questioning, Lord, was that me or was that you? Was it the enemy? Lord, I thought I heard something. We start asking deeper questions. And the end result is that we learn to hear his voice clearer than we did before. Sometimes we grow in discernment of human behavior. You know, we understand people a lot better. You know, most of us, if we've never gone through something, we don't understand, you know, how others feel. So sometimes God allows those things to happen where we can understand others. Our priorities and values get refined, or sometimes they're reshaped totally, because we begin to realize what is really, really, really important. And we discover it's really the things that are eternal, not the things that are temporal. Qualities such as harshness, pride and arrogance, greed, the sharp tongue, ungodly desires, being overly opinionated, anger, those things get whittled away during times of pruning. And whittled, I'm not sure, how do you say that in Spanish? Yeah, just kind of, you know, yeah, cotar, but yeah, they just start kind of getting cut away a little bit by a little bit, yeah. And what's the end result? The end result is that we bear more fruit. We become more like Jesus. And really, those two come hand in hand, don't they? If I'm becoming more like Jesus, I'm bearing the fruit of the Spirit and I'm producing fruit. So that's what God is doing. And that's why pruning is so important, so necessary. It produces more fruit inside of us. Now, on the other hand, if we resist pruning or we refuse the work of the Lord, then we'll never enjoy, we'll never be fruitful. And that's possible. And that kind of leads us to the third thing. It says in verse 2 that the branches that do not bear fruit, he takes away. God takes away the branches that don't bear fruit at all. Now, there's a lot of examples. Like the parable of the talents is a good example that Jesus taught. Remember, he gives the talents to everybody and he praises the ones who kind of come back. Lord, look at your talents. By the way, a talent isn't it's not a talent like we think of, like playing music or being artists or something like that. A talent was a chunk of money, a lot of money, actually. And this was a parable Jesus gave, that he gave to each person varying amounts of talents. And when they came back, oh, you know, Lord, your 5 talents is now 10 talents. Your 2 talents is now 4 talents or 5 talents. And remember, the one kind of came by and said, Lord, I didn't do anything with your talent, but here it is. And the Lord rebuked him. And what did he do? He took that talent away and gave it to someone else. And we see a lot of passages in the scriptures. Actually, there's a lot of parables about the vineyard in the scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament. Like Jesus gives a parable right before he is crucified about the vineyard. There's a man who had a vineyard, but he never got fruit from it. And so what did he do? He took it away and gave it to someone who bore fruit. Actually, we can see that in Matthew 21, verse 43. It says, therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing the fruit of it. He's talking about Israel. Now, he did say, later, I'm going to bring them back. But there is a principle in the scriptures, rather sobering, is if a person is not bearing fruit, then God moves on and he begins to use someone else. It doesn't mean that a person isn't going to go to heaven, but it does mean that in this life, it's like he puts us on the shelf. You don't want to bear fruit? He's asking us. You want to live for yourself? Okay, I'll let you do that. And that's one of the worst things that can happen to us, is we just, you know, maybe even the pruning stops, but we're not bearing any fruit. So God takes away the branches that do not bear fruit. The fourth thing I want us to look at today, this is found in verse 3. It says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now, this is not really clear what it means, but I'll tell you what I think from studying this. First of all, the word prune and the word clean have the same root in their words in Greek. Okay? And it seems like that the word describes two things. It describes like a stripping away, which is like pruning, but it also has a redemptive or a restorative, a restoring quality to it. So it's kind of an unusual word. And my understanding is that the pruning, the same word was used pretty much, or a very similar word, to prune, and also when the vine dresser would take the vines and he would tie them to the branches or to the rails that were going by, he would lift them up. And by the way, that's something that a vine can't do by itself, right? If you didn't have a vine dresser that came and tied them up to the, you know, to the wood slats or poles there, what would happen? The vines would just kind of just be on the ground and they would rot. So the vine dresser does something that the vine cannot do itself. It ties it up. And that seems to be the picture here. And Jesus basically is saying, it's because of the word which I've spoken to you. Because of God's word serves as that function of both pruning and restoring, you know. And we're going to probably talk more about this later on, about God's word, because we see it later down in the passage. So for today, kind of an introduction, four things. As branches, we're called to what? Bear fruit. Okay, that's our purpose. Second, and these are the two most important things, is that if we are bearing fruit, if we desire to please God and to serve Him, if our desire is to bear fruit, what is He going to do? He's going to prune us, right? And that is never pleasant. It seems like, ouch, ouch, God, why are you doing this? But God wants us to respond, Lord, I don't understand, but I know this is pruning, and I submit to you as the vine dresser, because the vine dresser also is the one that ties us up and lifts us up to bear fruit. So He does it in order to bear more fruit. Those who don't bear fruit at all, He takes away. And then fourth, God's word is important for us in that pruning process and also that restoring process. There's something that supernaturally happens. So it's really a beautiful passage, isn't it? And we're going to, next week, we're going to jump into probably two verses, verses 4 and 5, and really begin to start talking about what it means for the branch to abide in the vine, or what does it mean for us to abide in Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we ask that you give us understanding. Lord, give us a vision for our mission on earth, and that is to bear fruit, and to bear lots of it, to much fruit. Lord, also give us understanding in those times of pruning. Lord, my guess is that right now, there's a number of people who are going through a pruning time. Lord, we ask that all those who are pruning would look to you with hearts of thankfulness and with hearts that are looking forward to the much fruit that will come as a result of it. So, Lord, this beautiful passage, let it be something that becomes a reality in every one of our lives. Thank you, Lord. Amen.